I thought I'd just, this is one, start off with this one. Ever so often, I go out with other people from different churches and the same church as a street pastor. And street pastors go into town, we go around up the Barton, and we sometimes do a visit over to the homeless village. And we just chat to people. We collect up broken glass. We pick up bottles. Various other things just to try and help keep the peace in the town when we go out. And our main aim is to just help. But we do get chance sometimes to share something of God's good word. And I was out in the town last weekend, and I was with Martin, Katie, and another lady from another church, and we were walking along together, just chatting away as we do, and it was pleasant. It was a bit like this kind of weather. And we had our uniform. This is just part of the uniform, the hat, but we had our coats on and whatever. So people can see that you're a street pastor. You know, it's there, it's obvious. And you're walking along, and different people make different assumptions about you. Some people think you're out to preach to them. And all of a sudden, as we're walking along, we weren't really, we were just walking down. We were just trying to decide whether to carry on a bit further or turn round. And all of a sudden, behind me, I got a hallelujah. And could have thought it was Martin, but it wasn't. He was with us. So I turned round and I kind of waved, and I didn't know the person. They were out to, they'd probably had a bit much to drink, or some to drink, and were having a bit of fun. And they came, there was a man and a woman, probably about my sort of age, or similar age to me. And I think they probably assumed that we were out to preach at people. And so he comes along and he goes, some comment, I can't remember the exact details, but it would be a comment, something along the line of, there isn't a God and you're wasting your time, sort of thing. That kind of thing. And carried on saying something along the line of, when you die, you'll find out you wasted your time. So I looked at him and I said, but the thing is, I said, yeah, but I didn't say that. I said, but if I'm right, where does that put you? And he said, I'll probably be shoveling coal. Because what he was basically saying, I'll be going to hell. And he was kind of mocking around. See, so okay, that was fine, you know, because actually, if he's right, he won't know anything about it, will he? If there's no God, he just blanks out and that's that. But if I'm right, he will be aware of it all. And suddenly, hey ho. Anyway, so Martin started chatting with a gentleman. And then there was me, Katie, and this other lady. We were together. And the lady came on to me and said something along the line of, there isn't a God. Why'd you do this? You know, and sort of started up. They weren't too aggressive. They were just kind of wanting to get into discussion, see, and probably having a little pop at us, going to outdo us and all that. And why? And so, you know, there isn't a God. Why would you believe in all this stuff? And so my response was, well, just look at, because, you know, you're out, these people are just out in the town having fun, aren't they? They're just having an evening out. And now they're going to get into this discussion, this Christian discussion. So I say, just look at the trees, although it was pretty dark at the time. Look at the trees and the beauty. And all the creation. And I said, someone had to make this wonder. It didn't just, you know, it didn't just happen. It's too beautiful for it to. And then she said, well, if there is a God, why do you have to serve him? Why can't you just do your own thing? Just live for yourself. See, why don't you just live for yourself? Why do you have to bring God into it? And I said, well, God made me. He cares about me. And he wants to know me. He wants to know me. And I said, it's a relationship. I said, you know, if you've got children, you don't have these children and just hope, well, I hope we never interact ever again. You want a relationship with your children, don't you? You hope that you have that relationship all the time. And sometimes for some people, things come in the way and break that relationship. But that's not how it was meant to be. And with God, this relationship is important to him. And he wants us to engage. So I was saying this to her. And she was sort of taking it in. Because once you make it personal, then they sort of, you know, family and, you know. And she started to. And then she said, oh, my feet are killing me. I said, I've got some flip-flops. Would you like some flip-flops? With that, she couldn't believe it. She thought I was kidding. So I got these flip-flops out. And she was like, no, I can't believe you've got flip-flops. So I put these flip-flops and she tried them on. Oh, and, you know, she was like, oh, you were wonderful people, aren't you? And you're amazing people. I can't believe you do this. And the whole thing, there wasn't any anger or any, you know, nastiness in the whole thing from the start to the finish. But we gave her the flip-flops, and then she wanted to hug us and chatted away and talking to Katie about the course that she wants to do. And then she was asking our ages, and well, it just went sort of chatty. And one of the ladies said, you know, why don't you look to do something like an Alpha course, just to discover a bit more about it? So, because in a way, we've just chatting briefly for a few minutes. And so we had a good time, and, you know, she wanted a hug. I don't know, everyone, even I had a hug. And and she just finished by saying how good we were and everything else like that. And that's just out in the night, you know, and off we go. And that's kind of what sometimes happens. I wouldn't say that doesn't happen all the time, but that does happen. But that was just an example of this night. But what the comment was, I'll sum it up. Why don't you ignore God and do your own thing? Live for yourself, is what she was saying. Why don't you just live for yourself? Why bring God into it? And I thought a bit about this because I thought this is our society, particularly the Western society, because I kind of went on the internet and typed in individualism. Oh, my word, there it was. And it ties up with Western society. And it's an ism. But there you go. Everything's an ism. And, you know, it's very much the West. Because Eastern societies is more about community and sort of being, you know, when you have these honor killings, that's a different society to us, isn't it? That's not individualistic. That's family honor. That's society honor, and that's how theirs works. They don't have the same sort of individualism that the West seems to have. Although I should think there's still selfishness goes on everywhere because. That's sin of humanity. But our society is very much the individual. And I was looking at this and whether, you know, it's an ism. It doesn't mean it's right and wrong. And there's parts of it that's right and parts of it that if you took to the extreme, you wouldn't pay your tax. And you would, you know, everything would be, you'd do everything for yourself. You'd be self-sufficient. You would... It's me, and you wouldn't have your NHS. You wouldn't have anything because you'd just be me, about me surviving and looking after myself. At the expense of anyone else? Why not? So I'm not here doing politics. It was just the phrase that she said, why don't you do your own thing and live for yourself? And you think, well... But when we get immersed in our culture, our society, these kind of self-centered things, and the society we live in, it does impact us. We can't help it, because our TV, everything we are, all the things we live around, it sort of channels us down a certain route. And we do live in a very self-centered society. And if we become too individual or too self-centered, it can be quite hard to share a relationship. That's because in the end, you get, well, it's me first. It's me, it's about me. And a relationship is quite difficult because two have to sort of give and take. But if it's always about me, it's harder to survive in a relationship. Perhaps we wonder why society is breaking down. But that's the end result of a me society. Because it's very difficult to work together when it's always... Unless the other person in that relationship always does what you say. See? Then you can have it in this one-way society about me. And so if we have somebody who will do what I tell them to do, yeah, we can have a relationship as long as you do it what I say. That works for me. But as I was thinking about this, because these things spark your mind off, what about for God? Well, we are actually individually responsible to God. Because the Bible actually says, so then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. And we answer individually. We are responsible individually to God. And that's when we stand before God, or when I say we, I mean the world, I'm just talking about humanity, stands before God. Well, then we will want to kick in the blame culture, because we live in that as well, don't we? The blame culture. Whose fault is it? It's not my fault. It's all about me, but it's not my fault. And that's what we live in. And when we stand before God, it says we'll give an account of ourselves before God. And so there is an individualness about being a Christian, that we will answer for ourselves before God. And we'll have to give an account of ourselves before God. But I go on to another thing. But Christianity, there is a certain amount of individualness about it. But another little story. And this is my other prop. And this, if you didn't know, it might look like a stick to you. But it's not a stick. It's a baton. A running baton, yeah? Yeah, does it look like a baton? No. It's about the same size. That is about the size of a baton, isn't it? Yeah, it's about the size of a baton. A baton is, when you're running a relay race, you pass it on to the next person, and then they run with it. And normally, we go off to spring harvest as a family, but this year we decided not to. And what it meant was, that had a free-ish half term. And at that sort of time, I belong to a club, and they join in a race that runs from Eastbourne to Winchester. It's about 100 miles. And what happens is, you get teams of six in this race. So you have six in a team, and each runner runs 5 or 6 miles. Then they pass it on to the next runner. They run 5 or 6 miles. They pass it, the baton, on to the next runner. And so on and so forth. And then it comes back to me. And then I run another 5 or 6 miles. And you have 3 goes each. 3 legs. And I try to avoid using the word legs in case you get a comment about 3 legs. But anyway. 3 sections each. And this race starts early in the morning. 6 o'clock in the morning. So you've got to be down there at 6 in the morning with your teams. And there's loads of teams, about 50 teams turn up. And the slowest ones start off at 6, and then the slightly faster ones go off at 6:30. Then even quicker ones go off at 7, all the way up to about 9 o'clock. The real fast teams come up, cracking on at 9. And they usually chase down the slower ones. Anyway, so that was, and we were down for a 6:30 start, so not the fastest. But we had to be down at Beachhead somewhere around about 6 in the morning. So it meant getting up at 4 o'clock and getting over to Horsham, catching a minibus down to Eastbourne. And it was nice to... And so what I did is, they were talking about it at the club, and I said, I'll tell you what, I'll put my name down as a reserve, because they had these two teams. I put my name as a reserve, kind of hoping that I'm showing willing, but I won't have to do it. So I put my name down, but I won't have to do it. And as this race gets nearer over the weeks, oh, this one drops out, so the next reserve goes in. I'm thinking, oh my word, it's getting close. And then the next one drops out, and my name's in. I'm like, oh great, I'm down. I'm actually down to do it now. So and it would cost me as well. I have to chip in so much money for the hire of the minibus. But I'm part of this now, and I'm part of the whole thing. And as you get nearer, you think, oh yeah, I've got to get up really early. Oh. And then you start to think about the involvement of it all. And I was given my sections. I was given leg 1, leg 7, and leg 13. Out of a possible, there's 18 legs. Leg 1, 7 and 13. And so I had to reason this through. I thought, I know, leg one, there'll be lots of runners together. I won't need to check the course out. I'll run with others. I won't need to look at, see, because the responsibility on this run is that I have to know my way. Leg two, I think I'll go down and just check the start of it, and hopefully I'll find the rest of it. And all you're following is the South Downs relay signs. Leg three, I had no idea about that one. So Viv took me down in the car, I got myself out, and I ran the course a week before, so I knew where I was going, so I wouldn't get lost. Now, in this day and age, some people go out and check it beforehand, some people have run it in the past, so they know it, some people use a map, run with a little map, and some people have these watches that they set it in, and it bleeps if you go off course. Sat-nav. So they don't even have to recce it like I did. They just run with their watch. And then what happens is you go down and they drop the first runner off. The minibus drives on to the next place. And the first runner runs, gets picked up in the minibus, passes the baton on to the second runner. They run, minibus drives on. So the minibus keeps driving all the way along the downs. I'm doing this. But as I was sitting in this minibus, travelling along, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about my role in this. I often do this. I connect the church things up with what I do and that. And I thought about it, and I thought, here I am doing an individualistic sport, running. It's kind of individualistic. And yet, I'm part of a team. I thought, if I do something wrong in this race, I'm going to let everyone else down. If I go running off lost for an hour, everyone else is going to be let down. And it was a kind of, when I do something myself, if I did a race and I didn't make it, that's just down to me. But I suddenly, I had a responsibility to everybody else that was in that team, all the other 5 runners, that I shouldn't get lost, I shouldn't get injured. And this realization that I've got to do my best for all these other 5, and they will be thinking the same. They've got to do their best for me, I hope. And we don't want to let each other down as we're doing it. And yet I'm running the race on my own. That bit's my responsibility. The responsibility is not for me to get lost. I've got to get myself there. And if I mess up, I mess it up for everyone for the day. And it does mess up, I tell you. I've done it a few times in the past. People get lost for hours. People have been sick. Completely messes up. And if something bad happens, you don't finish. but you've committed into this day. And I thought the Christian life is a bit like that, isn't it? You know, we're individuals living our individual Christian life. We have an individual answerability to God. And yet, as we look around, this is a team that we should be running for, but that we're looking after, helping. And when I was in this team, I thought, I don't want to get anything wrong on my leg. I've got to make sure I've eat right, I drink right, rest right, race as hard as I can, I bust a gut, I hobble over the line if I have to, and I did on the last leg. And that's, you know, what it takes, and everyone would be the same. And in one section I was running, I was running that way, and this lady came the other way, and she said, oh, my watch is telling me I've gone wrong. I said, you're not wrong, don't worry, I've run this before, follow me, and I'll take you through this bit, and then till you back, till your watch picks it up again. And you know, I saw her finish, so, you know, she did it. But you have to, you are responsible, and you are working for each other. And how we perform affects the whole team. And it, I mean, that's just an event that, you know, you enjoy and sort of. But we made it. But as believers, as a church, as we're individually going to be answerable to God, but we are also running for each other. We are helping each other, whatever that might mean for us. And if I read this in Romans 12. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So think about the patterns of this world what can affect you. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members. So it's like a team. Do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So there's an individuality, but there is a joining together, because it says you all belong to each other. And when I was in that team, I thought, today I'm committed into getting us all through this day. And everyone else would be the same. Yeah, you know, wouldn't be talking like that all the time, but just say, well done, good run, or whatever. But get through it. Although if we got on the bus and all started having a go at each other and moaning, the team could fall apart. And then someone says, well, I'm not doing this, I'm off. And that's how a team can break up. But we had to, you just go together. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. It's sometimes hard, isn't it, when you've been a Christian for a long time. It's a long old run. You've done your legs and you're tired out and you've got one more run to do and you're weary. It says, keep your zeal. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And it goes on. It's just that these two recent events, I just thought, yeah, there's part of us that's individual, but there's part of us that's part of a team. There's an answerability to God as an individual, but there is a responsibility to one another to keep each other going, to run hard as you can. And we're not all as fast as each other. And when, you know, when we did it, we were a funny mixed team. They are 350 plus year olds running, two girls in their 20s and a chap in his 30s. It's a kind of funny old mix. And you know you're not all going to be the same. And you just work for each other to get to the end. And as a church, we've got to look out for each other, run hard for each other, bust a gut. But we are answerable individually to our Lord. And I think I'll finish at that. Yeah. I'll just pray. Heavenly Father, as we finish today, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to run that race that you give us. And as we run our individual parts, be aware of those around us that we can cheer on and encourage and help. And help us not to get bogged down in the individualness of our society where it's all about me. And what do I get out of it? And help us to run as a team, but run our own bits as you have given us to run. Help us to encourage those around us. Help us to cheer each other on. And help us to help each other to cross the line, Lord. And just pray that you would help us now as we go from here. Take these words with us. In Jesus' name, amen.